Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior. Very glad to see old friends whom I have not seen for a long time. A warm welcome, and especially those who are here for the first time. I'd like you to turn your Bibles back to the book of Joshua, and for the benefit of those who may not know, I am doing a series of study with you on the book of Joshua, and we will try to cover as many chapters as we can, but we do not want to rush into our learning of this book, this wonderful account of the history of the children of Israel, and particularly to direct our thoughts and our hearts on this God of Israel, what God has done in their lives, and we are to study it, to draw spiritual lessons for our learning. And so this morning we are going to meet a very important Bible character that illustrates to us very well what is true evangelical, genuine saving faith. And of course, this will imply that there is faith that that is fake or not true, genuine saving faith. And so when we say, or when I say that this is what is true evangelical saving faith, I'm referring to those believers whose faith produces works, and those whose faith is dead, according to what James described in James chapter 2 verses 17 to 26. And in that chapter, James gave to us a very good picture of what is true faith and what is not. And so our subject this morning is the character of biblical saving faith. Or you can say the nature of biblical saving faith. In Joshua chapter 1, we have been introduced to two groups of people called to cross the river Jordan to enter into the land of promise. And the land of promise, as you know, is a type of our eternal home. The first group that was called to cross the river Jordan was the children of Israel. And then we read also of the other group, and that is the 2.5 tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. In Rahab, we now see a third group of people. And this third group of people is namely the Gentiles, or the strangers, who by faith share the blessing of the promise in common with the children of Israel in accordance with God's gracious redemptive plan. So we see here in Rahab. Rahab is a picture of another group that were called to cross the river Jordan. Rahab, by faith, belonged to that company of people which the Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, described as this. Rahab belongs to a company that are called Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So Rahab is a representation of those who were once outside of the kingdom of God, without Christ as their Savior, without Christ as their Lord, and without hope and of eternal life, but are now, by the great mercy of God, but are now brought into God's everlasting kingdom through the finished work of Christ on the cross. Let us, as we consider this character of Rahab, let us first of all once again look at Joshua. We see once again Joshua's faith in further action before we look at Rahab's faith. Joshua, in the footsteps of his teacher, Moses, besides instructing his officers to get the people ready for crossing the Jordan, in chapter 2, verse 1, we read that Joshua sent out 2 spies to assess the enemy's strength or to gather intelligence in preparation for the attack of Jericho. So God, in his sovereign providential care, led the 2 spies to lodge in Rahab's house. However, as we read, or as our chairman read just now to us, that their position were compromised, they were found out, and then the king of Jericho sent the soldiers to seek out the 2 spies. In the light of God's promise to Joshua, we must ask the question, why was it necessary at this point that Joshua sent out the 2 spies to search out the land? Was Joshua lacking in faith and not trusting God fully? I submit to you this. In many portions of scriptures, we read and we learn that God more often than not accomplishes his will, not through miracles, not through great signs and wonders to impress us, but rather through normal means. And the importance of this is that though God in his sovereignty will indeed lead us and to work out his plan according to his will, but this, listen to this very carefully, but this does not negate our part, as it is also God's will that we, the believers, commit all our ways unto him in prayers, as we are taught in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. It does not negate our part, our responsibility in any way that is within what we can humanly do. That we must take note. It is not prayer and then sitting down doing nothing, expecting, for example, manna to fall from heaven. You can wait forever. Keep praying and open your mouth and see whether manna will come down from heaven. This is not how God carried out his will. To believe in the providential will of God is no incentive to laziness and slothfulness, or to excuse ourselves from responsibility. When God ordains that something will happen, he will also ordain the means by which it will happen. The sovereignty of God goes hand in hand with human's responsibility. It is just like two parallel line that goes along, but it will never meet in the end. And this is a mystery that is beyond our comprehension. In the verses that follows, after verse 3, we are given an account of what Rahab did to the 2 spies and what she said to the soldiers sent by the king. And this is where we begin to look at the grace of God at work in the life of Rahab through the Holy Spirit. She was not only a Gentile, but she was considered an outcast, one who is despised by society. With regards to her occupation as a prostitute, let us take note that it is not to be understood as one in our days. She was a temple prostitute, or a religious prostitute, if you want to call it that way. But more so, a cult prostitute, a prostitute perhaps in pagan worship. So Rahab being described as a harlot, which is another word for prostitute, can also mean one who has committed the sin of adultery or the sin of fornication. So her status in society would very likely be considered the lowest, as I said, despised by many others. However, we soon see a change when the grace of God knocks upon her heart's door, and a change when faith by the Holy Spirit begins its work in Rahab. Look at your Bible again, and we move down to verses 9 to 11. There we read what she said to the two spies before they left her house. And these three verses is an illustration of the character of genuine saving faith. So that beckons a question. How does one obtain faith? The Apostle Paul in Romans 10:17 gives us the answer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the first point in my sermon here, the first heading. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Notice the two words, very important words, Rahab said in verse 9. She says what? I know. These two important words show us how to obtain saving faith. So what did Rahab knew about? She knew all about what the God of Israel has done, what he did for the children of Israel, what the God of Israel did to the two kings of the Amorites. And then we must ask, how did she know all this happening? Verse 10. For we have heard. It is just by hearing, not seeing. For we have heard. Verse 10. Rahab heard, and she believes all these happenings to be true, even though she did not see it with her own eyes. Verse 12, as we read, is her affirmation of her faith. And so what is faith? I would like you to mark this down. So what is faith? The writer of Hebrews gives us the definition of biblical saving faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Mark it down in your Bible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. Read it carefully again. Evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Yet believing. Rahab believes that all that she had heard, because she sees not with her physical vision, but with the eye of faith. Faith comes as a result of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, which quicken, or you can say, as we can translate it, to be awakened in our hearts to believe. The moment by faith Rahab believes all that she had heard, her conscience, her heart, immediately came under the weight of the judgment which she knew is coming soon, not only upon her, but upon her country, upon her people. Rahab obtained faith by hearing the word of God when the Holy Spirit used the word of God and applied it in her heart. Take a look once again at verse 10. For we have heard. And there in this few words we draw another very important lesson. You see, all her fellow citizens, all the people of Jericho living there in Jericho, like Rahab, they all heard the same message. They all have the same information concerning what God is doing, what God has done for Israel, and all that. But only one only Rahab, and later on, of course, through Rahab, her family members, by faith, believed in the message and were saved. The rest all heard it. None of them believed, except Rahab and her family. Therefore, Rahab and her family were not only recipients of the elective grace of God, but also the gift of faith. How do we know that faith is a gift from God? You can turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8. I read to you, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." What about you, my dear friends? If you say that you have faith, then is your faith like that of Rahab's faith? Is your faith genuine? If you say that your faith is based on God's word, because you have heard it, you receive it, then do you believe it? Do you believe it with all your heart? Even though you may not have fully comprehended all its teachings, I leave you to answer this question for yourself. Let us move on to look at verse 11. Joshua 2:11, Rahab says this, "Our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." These words express the fear in the hearts of the people in Jericho, including Rahab and her family. However, I want us to understand that Rahab's fear is very, very different from the others in Jericho. For Rahab, this fear is the beginning of wisdom. For why? Why? Because it is the fear of God. It is the fear of the Lord. A fear which makes her look to God, and immediately she obtained the certainty to say in verse 9, "I know." You see, it is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When that fear came upon her, it did not turn her away. It is a godly fear. It is a fear of God. And because of the fear of God, that begins the work in her heart, and she say, "I know." Therefore, the second character of genuine saving faith is this. Faith evokes in us, or in a believer, a reverence for God. A reverence for God. It is, as I said, a godly fear as opposed to slaverish fear. Fear of judgment or fear of punishment. Rahab knew that her homeland will be taken not because of Israel trying to conquer someone else's land or expansion program, but rather God's judgment upon her country for their sin of idolatry, for their wickedness and their evil that they have done. And God was very long-suffering towards them in giving them the space to repent. No, the inhabitants of Jericho did not repent. But for Rahab, she knew that the season is ripe for the destruction of Jericho. God's judgment upon them is at the right time. And so Rahab by faith believes what she had heard, and she knows that the present, that two spies in her house, was God's gracious confirmation of what she has heard and believed. Her reverential fear of God is greater than her fear of death. So even at great risk of her life and that of her family, she was willing to identify herself with God and God's people, and Rahab's faith received an immediate answer. You see, Rahab's faith, my friends, does not depend on her seeing the whole of Jericho surrounded by the armies of the Israelites. She need not that. She need not see all the armies of the Israelites surround Jericho. Then she believed. By faith alone, Rahab acted solely upon what she came to know by hearing, and thus faith begins the process of firstly invoking a reverential fear for God. And so I trust that you understand by now what genuine saving faith is, and more importantly, the strength of genuine faith. What genuine faith will do, or what is the outcome of genuine faith? For Rahab, firstly, it invokes in her a fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11 verses 13 to 16. I read to you. Hebrews 11 verses 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Meaning to say, all the Old Testament saints, like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they did not live to see God fulfilling all His promises. They are no longer right now at Jordan to see the children of Israel right now in Joshua here, to see the children of Israel crossing. They did not. So not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Rahab's faith in God's word awakened her to look beyond the now, awakened her to look beyond the present, the destruction of her homeland, and also to part with or to give up all the things and the friends of the world she once loved. And now she desire what? She desire a better country, that is an heavenly. May those of us who are believers pray earnestly that the Lord by His Holy Spirit will work more and more in our hearts such evangelical faith that evokes a reverential fear for God. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit will awaken our soul to be willing day by day to give up, like Rahab, to part with the things of the world, the friends of the world that we once loved, and that God will create in us a desire for a heavenly country. A country that God has prepared for His redeemed people. Dear friends and brethren, here in this life, as we continue here on this sinful world, we are only pilgrims, sojourners. This world is not our final destiny. The next thing that genuine faith does is that faith produces a true confession of God. And we see this confession in the last part of verse 11, Joshua 2. When Rahab says this, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." And this is a very beautiful and appropriate confession Rahab made in her acknowledgement of who God is. The Apostle Paul supports Rahab's confession with these words, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:10. So Rahab by faith believes wholeheartedly all that she had heard, and now she what? Confesses with her mouth that this God of Israel is no ordinary God. That this God of Israel is unlike any other gods, but the Lord God. Notice the capital L-O-R-D, which means Jehovah. The God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This confession marks her acknowledgement that this God is great, almighty, and this God is so different, so far above all the gods that she once knew, all the gods that she once worshipped. And this is the God of Israel, the one true living God, worthy of all our worship and praise, and His power and His dominion is over all the world, both in heaven and in earth. Rahab's declaration speaks of her correct understanding of who God is, in whom she can fully put her trust and confidence in. Now again, I must ask, dear friends, do you know who this God is, the God of the Bible is? Do you know Him, or do you know about Him? Is He your God? Do you believe that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to be your Savior, to save you from your sin? Just a quick word for the believers. If God is your God, this God of the Bible is your God, and you believe in Him, may I encourage you, particularly those who may be downcast and distressed, perplexed, is there anything too hard for this God? Why not call upon Him? Seek after Him. Plead to Him. Call out to Him. And His promise to us is, those who come to Him, I will in no wise cast out. Prove Him. Go to your God and prove Him that He is truly the God of heaven and earth. Pray to Him. Call out to Him. And see for yourself, prove to yourself that this God is truly real. He is not only a prayer-hearing God, but also a prayer-answering God. The product of Rahab's faith is her open and public confession of her faith in Jehovah. She was not afraid or ashamed in that she believes in this God, and to identify herself as one of the member of the family of God. She readily takes her stand to be on God's side and to be with God's people, no matter what the consequences of her action will bring, as we read in verses 12 to 21. Rahab's public confession reminds me of Ruth's word to her mother-in-law, Naomi, which expresses a similar thought. Ruth says, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God," in Ruth 1:16. Oh, what a passionate confession. And that is the full conviction of Rahab's faith, which certainly convinced the spies that she was speaking the truth. Are you willing to be identified with the Lord Jesus and with those of like-minded faith, especially in adverse situations? Are you willing to stand on God's side? Are you afraid or ashamed to confess that Jesus is your Lord? Is He your personal Lord and Savior? Are you ashamed of Him? The Lord Jesus warns us this in Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says this, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now we come to the fourth part, verses 12 to 21. The authenticity and strength of Rahab's faith convinced her that the preservation of her life and that of her family can come only from this one true living God and by the means of these two spies. And so we see in her, in verses 12 to 21, she made an agreement with the two spies. And from these verses 12 to 21, and particularly verse 21, we learn that faith brings forth, the same thing again, faith brings forth obedience to God, which I have already mentioned, which you see in the life of Joshua. Faith brings forth obedience to God. Like Joshua, who believed by faith God's command and obeyed, Rahab likewise through faith obeyed. How? By tying the scarlet line in the window as agreed with the two spies during the discussion of the plan to save her and her family. Rahab exercised her faith by obeying what she was told to do without demanding any proof from the spies. Neither did she decide to put up the scarlet thread only when the children of Israel, if their army, surround Jericho. She did not even ask the two spies when they will come to attack Jericho. All they told her was, look at verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down." Brethren and friends, this is true, genuine evangelical faith that will produce in the life of a sinner who believes. A faith that takes God and His Word and followed by humble obedience, without question, without hesitation, without delay. It is a faith that trusts unconditionally. One pastor put it this way, in a very simple way. God has said it, I believe it, that settles it. For Rahab, what did she say? Look at verse 21. "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, the two spies, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window, convincingly, without any hesitation. In the closing verses of Joshua 2, verses 22 to 24, and also from chapter 6, on hindsight, we came to know that God indeed fulfilled His promise to Joshua and the children of Israel in giving the land of Jericho to them, and also delivered Rahab and her family from judgment. And so in this last part from verses 22 to 24, it teaches us the fifth lesson. Faith brings reward in the future from God. Very briefly in this last point, I want to say that Rahab, as you all know, she was richly rewarded for exercising faith. That scarlet thread signifies to us the blood of the Paschal lamb applied on the doorposts of the children of Israel that averted the judgment of the angel of death for the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. So likewise, the scarlet thread suspended from Rahab's window was to preserve Rahab and her household. Rahab's reward was not only the preservation of her life and that of her family, but also for her future, which is unknown to her. We know it because we have the recorded history of this whole account. But unknown to her, there was a reward for her in the future. What was that reward? She was honored to form the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? A harlot, one who is despised by all in the society, hated, looked down upon. God not only saved her, God not only saved her family, God rewarded her not only at that point in saving her, but rewarded her in the future by giving her the honor. She became one of the ancestors of the human nature of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who later came into this world to take the sin and to take the place of that scarlet thread and shed his blood, that those who trust in the Lord Jesus may not perish but have everlasting life. What a awe-inspiring and what a blessed ending for Rahab and her family. What a gracious and merciful and infinitely wise God that we have. For those of us, once again, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear brethren, take heart. The Lord promised to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All we need is to plead for His help, to call upon Him, to cry out to Him, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Give me more faith. Give me genuine saving faith. Create that in my heart. And win my heart from the cares of this world, from the things of this world, from the friends of this world. Give me a heart that is willing to give all this up and to wholly follow after Thee. Acknowledge that You are weak. Acknowledge that you cannot do it yourself. And plead for God the Holy Spirit to give you the grace and the strength to diligently seek after Him, who is the rewarder of those who seek after Him. Rahab has gone down in history as a harlot whom the world despised, as the worst of sinners, who trusted in the Passover blood symbolized by the scarlet thread, and she became a believer. She is not only an example of faith, but also of works. Her testimony shows us that works must follow faith. As James 2 verse 25 tells us that, likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? James 2 25. It is not salvation by works. Get this correct. Don't misquote me either. Read very carefully what James is teaching there. A faith that produces works. There is such a thing as dead works, which are not the product of faith. And there is also a dead faith, which does not produce works. But Rahab's work can only be the fruit of faith. Or we can call it, her faith produces what? Fruit of repentance. As John the Apostle put it this way in his writing. One Bible commentator says this, I quote, "It takes an Abraham to offer up his son as a burnt offering, a Rahab to betray her country, or a Mary to break a costly box of alabaster, which in the sight of the world is illogical and foolishness. But what renders them a proof of God is the faith which sacrifices all for God and His people, and which surrenders all to God." Unquote. So may the Lord, in His grace and in His mercy, and through the work of His Holy Spirit, work in us day by day to give us more and more faith in Him and increase our hope and our trust in Him. May the Lord, in His mercy, turn sinners unto Himself and for His glory. For those of you who are still outside of the kingdom of God, I urge you, I plead with you, consider very carefully What is your life? Who do you trust? Is it trusting yourself? Trusting your bank account? Trusting in your education? Is that all? And by the way, all this also comes from the Lord, according to His great mercy. May you diligently seek after Him. Call unto Him, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast spoken and given us Your word of life. We pray, Lord, that You will grant us the faith, not only to believe, but to act upon it, to obey. Lord, give us the grace and the strength. Help us in our unbelief. Increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in You. O gracious, loving Father, be merciful to help every one of Your children, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are outside of Your kingdom, may Your Holy Spirit work in their hearts to convict them of their sin and to bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may truly know You as their personal Lord and Savior, and that they will live a lives that will bring glory and honor to Thy holy name, that others seeing Christ in them will glorify our Father in heaven, and that You will make all Thy people Your blood-bought children as witnesses for Thee, that we may live our lives as light of the world and salt of the earth for Thy glory, for Thy name's sake. Hear this our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.